is 5:45. Time now for News from the VU, our weekly program where we talk about folks inside of the KBOO station, about what's going on here at the station and in the greater KBOO listening community. Tonight, we're talking with KBOO volunteer and podcaster Christopher Francisco, who will be live reporting on KBOO from the Leonard Peltier Freedom Ride this July. We'll hear about that project and we'll speak with him tonight. Along with Christopher, we have Brent Jorgensen. Hello to Christopher and Brent. How are you both doing tonight?
Fine. How are you doing?
Excellent. So, Christopher, let's start with you. You're a volunteer and you have a podcast here at KBOO, Human Beings with Five Fingers. Tell us about the podcast and its mission.
It's called Dene Lai Shlai, which means human beings with five finger in Dene language. And what I do is I interview my people, Dene people, down in the reservation. And about the last one I did was with a Dene, young Dene lady, going back to the old way of giving, you know, helping to give birth. What do you call those?
Midwives.
Yeah. So stuff like that, you know. Also, farming. There was contamination in the San Juan River from the Amanas River. There's a gold mine up there called King Gold Mine that, you know, it broke, you know, and the water went out, and the contaminated water went into the Amanas River and it went into the San Juan River. San Juan River runs through the Navajo Reservation and we depend on the farming and stuff. So they had to shut down all the farming last year. And some people still don't want to open up their farm again to the irrigation water because they figured they're going to wait until a couple of years and let that contamination go down and then they're going to start using. But some people, they decided they'd go ahead and they want to do it because the EPA is telling them it's good to drink it. You know, the mayor of Durango drank some of that water too, so I don't know, maybe he's good or what, man. So I don't know. So stuff like that, things that's happening in my community back in Shiprock. We're trying to like talk about industrial hemp, earthship homes for people, and you know, the Four Corners power plant, uranium mining that they're trying to bring back, you know, and you know, all these policies that are, you know, trying to get in there to contaminate the land some more. And we're trying to get the young people to rise up and to begin to think about their future. You know, we need clean air and clean water. So we're making awareness among the young people. You know, although, you know, I really don't believe in a patriarchal system of the government that they have, you know, the tribal government, but somehow, you know, we have to get our own young people in there and begin to start working with the council delegates and the chapter house presidents and the tribal government president and stuff like that to try to make changes, I think. I don't know, maybe. So just, you know, things like that.
And if folks who are listening right now want to tune into the podcast, what's the best way to catch it?
Probably go to Human Beings with Five Fingers, and that's in English, but I call it Dene Lai Shlai.
Awesome.
It's on KBOO.
They can link to it right through the KBOO website?
Yeah.
Perfect. Now, let's for folks who are unfamiliar with the plight of Leonard Peltier, and I think an increasing number of listeners probably are unaware of it, let's go back to the beginning and discuss who he is and how he came to be incarcerated to begin with, and what's happened in the years since then.
Well, I think Leonard Peltier is just like all of us. He's a human being that cares for the land and cares for the future generation. And at that time in the 70s, you know, American Indian Movement, we were, you know, trying to be a voice along with the Black Panthers and the Weathermen and, you know, all these resistant organizations that were popping up all over the United States trying to make changes, you know, in the 60s, you know, went into the 70s. And there's a lot of corruption in the governments, tribal governments. So he wanted just to help his people, just like, you know, any human being would. You know, he cared for his kids, his grandkids, you know, the future generations. So June 25th, 1975, they had a shootout in Jumping Bull Resident in South Dakota, in Pine Ridge. And so two FBIs end up getting killed, plus American Indian Movement member Joe Stuntz got shot, yeah. And so he took off to Canada, and Dino Butner and Robert Robidoux, they went to court, and they were found not guilty for self-defense, and they figured Leonard thought he'd, you know, get the same amount of justice, but they needed, somebody had to pay the price. So they got him for killing
the death of the two agents.
Yeah, and so he got two life terms, and so they've been moving him around. the penitentiaries, and he's got like diabetes, and he's got bad health problems, dental problems. You know, his jaw's messed up. He's trying to get medical attention, and it's really hard to do that in the penitentiaries. And so he's still locked up right now. And we're hoping that Obama would give him clemency. So this riot is all about that.
Yeah. Well, that I'm glad that you brought that up. Is there a realistic hope that he might be offered clemency during the last few months of the Obama administration?
I think he will.
So tell us more about the ride. What is the route of the ride? Who's going to be going? How did you plan the route out?
Well, Chauncey's the one that's in charge of that. I'm just like a KBOO, you know, reporter,
okay,
kind of like going along for the ride and make sure, you know, that, you know, they don't get harassed or, you know, trying to report, you know, what people are thinking and trying to make awareness. And I think Amnesty International is on Facebook and online, you know, passing petitions around so they can hand it over to Obama. And along the way, we'll be making awareness, talking about Peltier and stuff like that. And people can join us in the ride, or they can caravan, and I'm just driving and doing interviews for them. So this.
Will he be going through South Dakota?
I think he's going through like starting in Banks, and then he's going to head into towards Denver.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to head into Idaho, and then all the way into Denver, and then Denver into Wyoming, and then Ohio, and I think into I don't have the itinerary with me right now.
Are you going to follow along for the entire duration of the ride?
Yeah. I'll be there all the way. And then when we get to the White House, I think they're going to be camping somewhere right around the grounds. I don't know, really familiar with where the campsite is going to be. I think it's going to be north of D.C., somewhere around that area. They have a campsite there. And then I think we're going to walk in or ride in or something like that. I don't really, Chauncey knows all the details. And you can get that at www.peltierjustice.com is where it's at. Yeah.
Brent, are you going to be going along as well?
Yes, I will be.
For the entire length of the trip?
Yeah.
How did you first get involved in the Freedom Ride?
Oh, I've known Chris for a really, really long time. I met him in college probably over 10 years ago. And we've been, you know, doing different justice movements and helping where we can for quite a few years. And then I've been in Kansas for the last 4 years, and I came to Portland, and he says, hey, are you going to be available to be my driver for this ride? And so I was like, great. So I got involved about a month ago, and now I'm just going to be his driver while he can film and interview, and also, you know, make sure that he has all his equipment with him and stuff like that. So.
And tell us a little bit about the logistics. Will you be camping along the way? Are there planned distances you're trying to cover each day, or?
Yeah, I think they're going to be riding about 5 hours a day, and they have these campsites, and you'll be camping outside and stuff like that. And I think they have, like, on the itinerary, they said they're going to have, like, speakers and music and, you know, stuff like that at the end of the day, and then take off again the next day around about 8 in the morning.
And then are you, in order to broadcast the information you're gathering, are you just going to be looking to hook into Wi-Fi networks, or how's that going to work for you?
We're going to, yeah, probably like Facebook, going through Facebook and then sending it to Delphine or Lisa or somebody here. They're going to, you know, put it on a page that they're going to create on KBOO webpage, and you can listen on there. And
then when you get to D.C., are any plans to sort of put together an entire retrospective of the entire voyage?
Yeah, make it like a short documentary with the filming that I'm doing. And I think there might be other people filming too.
Do you have any sense of, does Leonard Peltier know that this is going on?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Chauncey, that's his father. Chauncey Peltier?
Yeah,
that's his dad. He's been working on trying to help his dad get out for a long time. And
so they haven't kept the information from him, even though he's incarcerated?
I think he knows.
All right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he knows. Peltierjustice.com, you can, you know, read the whole itinerary and the map, you know, the route, all that stuff is on there.
So when are you scheduled to take off? When's the first day?
We're going to be meeting up on the 12th, and then we'll be leaving on the next day on the 13th, and they're going to be meeting in Banks, and they're going to have speakers and, I think, music out there too, yeah.
So is there any way, aside from just going to the website and becoming more informed, is there any way that cable listeners could become involved with the ride itself or could support the ride?
Like, can they join in on it?
Yeah, could they join for segments?
Yeah, you can, you know, if you have a motorcycle, you can join the ride, or you can drive along with us, or just be there on the 12th at Banks, mm-hmm. Oregon, outside of Hillsboro somewhere. They have a, it's all on the itinerary, and I didn't bring it with me, so I don't know.
And will there be any fundraising efforts to help folks who are already planning on going on the ride?
Yeah, there's a GoFundMe thing on the website too. Mm-hmm. You know, all the information is on there, as far as I know.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Any idea of how many people are going to be joining in the ride?
I'm not too sure.
Not too sure.
Yeah, we'll find out. The 12th.
When you get to DC,
I'll be reporting it before we take off.
Stay tuned. Yeah.
When you get to DC, do you think you'll actually be able to present the material that you have to the White House?
Maybe Chauncey knows that part.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm just doing the interviews and the filming for KBOO.
How long has he been planning to do this?
Probably for a long time, I'm sure, because he's been like working really hard, going around, you know, different type of native events, powwows, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, setting up his booth and talking about it. And long time ago, I don't know, about like 10 years ago, I used to go around to powwows and do that myself, you know, like to set up literature by Peltier and set up a table and just pass out information. I think a lot of Native people already know about, you know, the Peltier.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my next question is the fact that he's in jail still a really open wound that people are conscious of? Or as time has gone on, have people just... You know, is it not in the forefront of their mind? Are the issues that face them in their daily lives just sort of taking precedent over it? You know, where does he rank in terms of significance to the overall American Indian movement now?
I think, you know, we still talk about him. You know, I think it's still in people's mind. You know, like I said, you know, Native people, we still remember. You know, we still know. You know, they had that commemoration at you know, Peltier, mm-hmm. the Wounded Knee, you know, we always sing, you know, flags, you know, up for him, honor him and stuff like that, you know. So I think he's still remembered. But there's not a lot of street protest or anything like that going on. It's just, you know, people just passing information on to one another and, you know, special events that happened. Albuquerque, New Mexico, I remember they had like a Free Peltier organization there. There's like a few of them popping up, Free Leonard Peltier committee, you know, there's some around, you know, so there's still like awareness still going on. I don't know how much, but I still hear about it. I don't do the powwows anymore, like, okay. Setting up, you know, myself, you know.
So once you've the ride technically ends in D.C., but now you find yourself on the opposite end of the country, will you be using the trip back as an opportunity to visit other communities and maybe do other kinds of reporting?
Good question. Maybe I will. I'm thinking about it. But I don't know where those guys are going,
uh-huh.
You know, because I got to get back. You know, I have a rental car, so I got to get it back over here.
Oh, no, I was speaking to you specifically. Yes, no, I don't know what they intend to do. But, yeah, I thought maybe for you it would be an interesting opportunity to hit some other communities and continue the reporting.
Yeah, I did a longest walk, three, back in 2011. We walked and ran from Portland to D.C. too. That was a third longest walk. There's one in 78 and 2011, and I mean, not 2008, and then we did the 2011. And I hit a lot of those communities talking about diabetes and stuff. Yeah, my brother died of diabetes, and a good friend of mine here in Portland died of diabetes, and I got diabetes, so that's why I did it, you know.
So it's a good opportunity to raise awareness of that, too.
Yeah, and all these communities that we visited, too, there's like a lot of diabetes, you know, going on. We're just giving information, you know, like to the tribal governments and, you know, letting them know, you know, build community gardens, you know, and you got the equipment, you know, to do all this stuff, you know, build it for your community, run water lines to it, and we're just telling people to be aware of the water in the air, because you got to have good clean soil and good clean water to grow good healthy non-GMO vegetables, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So all those things are, you know, related in a big circle, you know. You know, you got to let people know that if they want to, you know, stay alive for the future generations. And most of the time we're talking to the younger kids, they're really receptive, you know, they listen to us, you know, and, you know, they wanted to come with us, but we couldn't you know, like, come with us. But, you know, we told them, go grab your grandpa's hand, your uncle's hand, your auntie, get them off the couch, get them walking.
Right.
So that's what they were doing.
So we only have a few seconds left. Give out, again, for everyone, the podcast and the website for the ride so that they can go check it out for themselves.
Okay, it's www.peltierjustice.com and Human Beings with Five Fingers, that podcast. It's
available through the KBOO website.
Yeah.
Well, Christopher, Brett, thank you very much for joining us today. Best of luck on the ride. Stay safe on the roads, and hopefully this will all end with a good outcome once you get to D.C.
I'll let you guys know.
Yeah. I'm sure you will. Thank you very much.
Good luck. Thanks.
Thank you.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be a founding sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival, the hallmark event for the Oregon Food Bank.